नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण परिषदाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द फिफ्थ चैप्टर ऑफ श्री भगवद्गीता through the commentary of Shri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Sararta Varshini commentary. So I'll do a quick recap of what we have seen in this chapter. So in the third and fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about Nishkama Karma Yoga and the practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. And also towards the second half of fourth chapter, he describe that how the practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga matures into jnana or knowledge very naturally. He says that nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yoga samsiddhir kalena atmani vindati. He says that tat svayam yoga samsiddhi, when with the perfection of Nishkama Karma Yoga, yoga samsiddhi kale gradually over a period of time, tat swayam yoga samsiddhir kalena atmani vindati. Very naturally, practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga matures into jnana. So now, in the meantime, so what happens is, he says here that by practice of Nishkarma Yoga, of course, Nishkama Karma Yoga 1. So these terminologies you have to remember. So it naturally leads to purification of heart. And along with that, there is the manifestation of jnana. Okay. So this is what towards the end of the fourth chapter, we saw that how when Nishkama Karma Yoga is properly practiced, naturally, it leads to jnana. Now, for one who has reached this stage of jnana, the qualification for jnana, we saw last time that he can either, when the heart is purified by jnana yoga, at the stage of jnana yoga, he can either continue to practice his varnashrama duties and internally cultivate jnana, or he may externally give up the varnashrama duties and externally and internally cultivate jnana both, or he may choose to practice ashtanga yoga. So these three options are there. So basically these two are one only, because jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga, they will have the ashtanga yoga will have the element of jnana and jnana yoga will have the element of ashtanga yoga. So these two are one only. So there are two options essentially for that person. Either when he reaches the stage of jnana, either he can externally give up his varnashrama duties or continue performing his varnashrama duties. These two options are there. So in this case, when he chooses to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga on the platform of jnana, this is called as Grihastha Sannyas or Nishkama Karma Yoga 2, or this is also called as Grihastha Sannyas, where internally the heart has been purified, internal detachment, but externally he does not give up his Grihastha Ashram and is following of his Varna Dharma, he does not give up. Or he can take up to actual sannyas, which is Karma Sannyas, where he gives up his Varnashram duties also. And either way, either of these practices will lead to liberation. So, Arjuna, in the beginning of fifth chapter, because at the end of fourth chapter, Krishna, after glorifying jnana so much, says, "Oh Arjuna, you know, you perform karma," he says. So even though he glorified jnana, but now he actually asks him to perform karma. So at this stage, Arjuna asks a similar question to Krishna, just the same question that he asked at the beginning of third chapter. So at the beginning of third chapter, he says that Vyamishreneva Vakyena Buddhi Mohaya Sivame Tadekam Vada Nishchitya Ena Shreyoham Apnuyan. So he said that what is the beginning? Anyways, so he says, if you think jnana is better than karma, then why you are asking me to do karma? So it seems like you are speaking in equivocal language. It is not very clear whether you want to practice karma or jnana. But the difference between the question asked by Arjuna in the third chapter question. Okay, even though it looks exactly same, and the fifth chapter question. Okay. So, even though both the questions are exactly same, if you see the external form of the question, exactly the same. At the beginning of third chapter, Arjuna is asking whether you want me to do karma or jnana. You seem to glorify jnana and you are asking me to do karma. What is he want me to do? In the beginning of the fifth chapter, Arjuna is asking the same question. You are glorifying jnana but asking me to do karma. What do you want me to do? Okay. So, here, but the only difference is that at the end of the third, at the beginning of the third chapter, Arjuna is qualified for karma. Okay. Arjuna is qualified for karma or Nishkama Karma Yoga 1. Okay, why is he qualified for Nishkama Karma Yoga? Because his heart is not free of anarthas. Okay, but when Arjuna asked this question in the beginning of the fifth chapter, Arjuna is qualified for jnana. Okay. Which means his heart is purified. Okay. So, the Arjuna at the beginning of the third chapter and Arjuna at the beginning of the fifth chapter are differently qualified. Okay, so they are differently qualified. So Arjuna at the beginning of the fifth chapter, he has two choices. Either he practices jnana yoga or karma sannyas, or he practices nishkama karma yoga type 2, which is grihastha sannyas. So in reality, Arjuna at the beginning of third chapter is asking, should I practice Nishkama Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga? Krishna says, you practice Nishkama Karma Yoga because you are not qualified for Jnana Yoga. He says that he talks about Adhikar. Therefore, in the beginning of third chapter, in answering this question, Krishna talks about Adhikar. So he says, Lokesmin Vivida Nishta Pura Prokta Mayanaga Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Oh Arjuna, there are two types of people with two different qualifications. One is qualified for karma, another qualified for jnana. For one who is qualified for karma, he should practice karma yoga. For one who is qualified for jnana, he should practice jnana yoga. And what is the qualification for jnana? He says, Yastu Atmarati Revasyat Atma Triptascha Manava Atmanyeva hi santushtas tasya karyam na vidyate. So one who is completely satisfied in the pursuit of self-realization, one who does not need anything but his meditation on Atma, for such a person, he need not practice karma. So, but Arjuna, because your heart is still impure, you are not an Atmarati. So, therefore, you should practice Nishkama Karma Yoga. And where what he is talking about is Nishkama Karma Yoga type 1. But when Arjuna, in the beginning of the 5th chapter, is asking this question, Arjuna is already qualified for Jnana. He does not have Karma Adhikar, he has Jnana Adhikar here. So, Arjuna can either practice Karma Sannyas or he can practice Grihastha Sannyas. Both options are there for Arjuna. So when Arjuna asked this question in the beginning of chapter, Krishna does not say, why you are asking me the same question? I answered the same question in the beginning of the 3rd chapter. I told you are not qualified for Jnana, you are qualified for Karma. So why you are asking me that same question? But interestingly, Krishna does not say that. Krishna says something different. Krishna says that sannyasa karma yogascha nishreyasa karavubhav tayostu karma sannyasat karma yogo vishishyate. O Arjuna, whether karma sannyas or grihastha sannyas, both will give the same result of liberation. But of the two, grihastha sannyas is better than karma sannyas, because for a grihastha sannyasi, because externally he has not given the varnashram duties, even if he realizes that his heart is impure later, he can continue performing his practice of varnashram duties, will actually purify his heart, then he can become qualified for jnana. But if he has taken up to karma sannyas, if he has given up his karma, then there is a problem. His practice of sannyas will not give purify his heart. So therefore, grihastha sannyas is better than karma sannyas. He says here, geyasya nitya sannyasi yonadveshti nakangshati nirdvandvo hi mahabaho sukam bandhat pramuchyate. Or just because externally he is a grihastha performing his varna dharma, don't think that he is not qualified. Geyasya nitya sannyasi, understand he is actually a constant sannyasi. Yona dveshti na kangshati, he does not hate or desire anything. Nirdvandvaha, he is without any duality. So that, because he is engaging in Nishkama Karma Yoga even though his heart is pure. So he is not practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga type 1, but he is practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga type 2, which is Karma Yoga on the platform of Jnana. Okay. So such a person, Sukandat Pramuchyate, he can very easily escape samsara. Easily in the sense, there is no problem of, if there is a mistake in self-evaluation. Later, if he realizes there is some impurity still there, there is no problem. A grihastha sannyasi is very safe because his practice of varna dharma will purify his heart. Right? Sukam bandhat pramuchyate. Very peacefully he can achieve perfection. Sankhya yoga upritak balaha pravadana panditaha ekamapi astita samyak ubayor vindate phalam. One who sees difference between this grihastha sannyas and karma sannyas is not an intelligent person. If a person applies himself strictly either to this grihastha sannyas or karma sannyas, he can attain the result of both, which is liberation. Yat sankehi prapyate sthanam tadyogairapi gamyate ekam kyam cha yogam cha yap pashyati tapashyati. So whatever is achieved by the practice of grihastha sannyas is achieved by the practice of karma sannyas. So one who sees this grihastha sannyas and karma sannyas to be the same, he is the real seer. He has understood the subject matter very clearly. Sanyasastu mahabaho dukkamaptum ayogataha yoga yukto munir brahma nachirena adigachati. If some is, he has not completely practiced this nishkama karma yoga and his heart is not completely purified, but without purification of heart, if he takes up to karma sannyas, then his life is very, very troublesome. But a grihastha sannyasi, he can attain Brahman very easily, because even if he realizes that the heart is not pure, his practice of Varnashrama will purify his heart. And then he says, Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma Vijitatma Jitendriya Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma Kurvan Apinalapyate. This Grihastha Sannyasi, even though he may be engaged in his performance of Varna Dharma, but because he is Vishuddhatma, his intelligence is completely controlled and purified. He is Vijitatma because his mind is completely controlled and purified. And Jitendriya, because he has completely controlled his senses. Therefore, Kurvanapi, therefore, even though he is engaged in his Varna Dharma, na lipyate, he is not contaminated. And Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma, and he is the object of love for all living entities. So Kurvanapi na lipyate. So such a person, even though he is engaged in all kinds of work, he is not contaminated. Like that, he is describing this Grihastha Sannyasi. Okay. Then he says, why the Grihastha Sannyasi is not contaminated by action? Because Naiva Kinchit Karomiti Yukto Manyeta Tatvavit Pashyan Shrinvan Sprishan Jikran Ashnan Gachan Swapan Swashan Pral Visrijan Grinan Unmishan Nimishan Api Indriyani Indriyarteshu Vartanta Iti Dharayan. This Grihastha Sannyasi, even though he is engaged in all kinds of activities, but in engaging in those activities, he very clearly sees that it is only his senses which are coming in touch with the sense objects, and it is only Prakriti which is doing the job. I am not Prakriti, I am spirit soul, therefore I am not acting, it is only Prakriti which is acting. Okay. Tattvavittu Mahabaho Gunakarma Vibhagayoho Guna Guneshu Vartanta Iti Matvana Sajjate. Same thing which was mentioned before in the third chapter. So, he is a tattvavit, he is a self-realized one. He very clearly understands that I am the soul, I am not this body. So, therefore, with that consciousness, any activity that he engages in does not bind him, because he is not acting on the platform of false ego, he is acting on the platform of true ego. Therefore, he is not contaminated by those actions. Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyatva karotiyah lipyate nasapapena padmapatra mivambasa. And such a person, because he gives up attachment and offers his actions to the Supreme Lord, therefore he is not contaminated by the papa or punya that comes in practice of karma. Padma patram ivambasa. Just like water on a lotus leaf does not stick to the lotus leaf, it just runs away. Like that, he is not touched by the papa or punya, because of his internal detachment and his offering of all the actions to the Supreme Lord. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalair indriyairapi yogina karma kurvanti sangam tyaktva atma shuddhaye. But if one is not on the platform of grihastha sannyas, if one's heart is not yet pure, then what one should do? Then one should continue to perform one's varna dharma, while giving up the attachment to the results, which means one should continue practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga for Atma Shuddhi, for purification of the heart. And gradually, when the heart becomes purified by the practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, then he comes to the platform of being Grihastha Sannyasi. So then he can continue to be a Grihastha Sannyasi and achieve perfection. Okay. Then he says, Yuktaha karma phalam tyaktva shanti mapnoti naishtikim ayuktaha kama karena phale sakto nibaddhate. So he says that this verse talks about a premature sannyasi and a grihastha sannyasi. So a person whose heart is not yet purified completely, if he prematurely takes up to karma sannyas, then he becomes bound up by lust in this material world. But this Grihastha Sannyasi, even though engaged in his Varna Dharma, he very easily attains liberation because he has developed internal detachment. Okay. So then he says that Sarva Karmani Manasa Sanyasyaste Sukam Vashi Navadvara Pure Dehi Naiva Kurvanna Karayan. So this grihastha sannyasi is called a sannyasi because sarva karmani manasa sannyasya, because he is not attached to performing any of these actions, because internally he is attached only to Brahman. Internally he is an atmarati. Yes, to atmarati revasyad atmatriptascha manava atmanyeva hi santushtastasya karyam na vidyate. Internally his attachment is to Brahman. Externally he is performing the varna, his varnashrama duties, but internally he is attached to internally he is attached to Brahman. Okay, so sarva karmani manasa sanyasya. So he only internally renounces the action, but externally he is engaging in them. So in this way he remains comfortably situated in the body of nine gates, and even though he engages in all these activities, he is not bound by any of these activities. Naiva kurvanna karayan, he neither does anything nor he causes anyone to do anything. Okay, na kartritvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na kala samyogam swabhavastu pravartate. He says the Lord does not create the doership of the jiva. The jiva thinks I am the doer. Ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate. So now who creates that false doership of the jiva? Does the Lord create that false doership of the jiva? He says no. Swabhavastu pravartate. This doership is created by the swabhava of the jiva. Okay, so now if the jiva has the swabhava of agyana, avidya potency, okay, so then nadatte kasyachit papam na chaiva sukritam vibhu agyanena avritam gyanam tena muyyanti jantava. So there are two types of swabhava of the jiva. The jiva swabhava can be under avidya, or the jiva swabhava can be under the control of vidya. If the jiva swabhava is under the control of avidya, then he thinks that I am the doer, I am the body, I am the doer, and with that understanding, whatever action he performs, he gets bewildered by those actions. Okay, and he gets bound to this material world, and he gets the reaction for that. But if the jiva's swabhava is controlled by the vidya potency, then that vidya destroys this avidya and it reveals the spiritual knowledge within. Prakashayati tatparam. So therefore there is this vidya and there is this avidya. So a jiva swabhava can be controlled by vidya, or the jiva swabhava can be controlled by avidya. So therefore the Lord is not responsible for the jiva to identify with the material energy and perform activities and get bound by papa and punya. So the jiva is not responsible for any of these. Then Krishna says that tad buddhayas tadatmanas tannishtas tadparayanah gacchanti apunaravrittim jnana nirduta kalmashah. So he says that tad buddhayas. So now the person is self-realized, but ultimately he also has to realize the Paramatma. So Paramatma realization by the element of bhakti is very critical to actually attain liberation. So the path of jnana involves, you know, realizing the Paramatma also. Okay, so now he says tad buddhayas tadatmanas. Those whose tannishta. Tad refers to the Lord. Tad buddhayaha, tad atmanaha, tad nishta. One whose intellect, mind and faith are fixed in on Paramatma. Tat parayana, and those who are absorbed in glorifying and serving me, which means that practice of jnana must have the element of bhakti practice. Okay. So without that element of bhakti, one cannot attain liberation. Tad buddhayas tadatmanas tannishta tat parayana. Jnana nirduta kalmashaha, and such people being washed of all the ignorance by knowledge, gacchanti apunaravrittim, they will go to that destination from where there is no return, which is Brahma Jyoti. Okay. So therefore, yes, that even though the previous section, the previous verse spoke about how the vidya potency destroys the avidya potency and reveals the spiritual knowledge about the jiva. But the knowledge about the jiva is not sufficient. One should also attain knowledge about the Paramatma. And knowledge about that Paramatma is revealed by bhakti. So that bhakti is described by tad buddhayas tadatmanas tannishta tat parayanaha. So tad refers to the Lord. Tad buddhayaha, his intelligence is fixed on Krishna. Tadatmanaha, his mind is fixed on Krishna. Tad nishta, his faith is fixed on Krishna. And tat parayanaha, he is absorbed in glorifying and serving Krishna as a secondary limb, not primary. Because we are not talking about bhakti. We are talking about the element of bhakti. So such a person, jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha. So such a person being washed of all ignorance by knowledge, he never takes birth again. Gacchanti apunaravrittim. So, but this vidya reveals knowledge about the jivatma and not knowledge of the paramatma. The Lord says, bhaktyaham ekaya grahyaha. I am attainable only by bhakti. Therefore, the jnanis must additionally practice bhakti in order to obtain the knowledge of paramatma. So, which means, from this, it is understood that the Atma Jnana is not enough to give liberation. Bhakti producing Paramatma realization is also necessary for liberation. And this is what is stated in the verse, stated in this verse. So, Tat refers to the Supreme Lord. Okay. So those who place their intelligence in the Lord, who are dedicated to contemplation on the Lord using their intellect, who are meditating on the Lord using their mind, who fix their knowledge in the Lord, eventually they have to give up that sattvic knowledge of the soul apart from the body and becoming fixed on the Lord, since the Lord says, jnanam cha mayi sanyasit. So we saw, did I write it here? Yeah, here, right? So we saw this. There is materialism, sakama karma yogi, karma yoga, then nishkama karma yoga, then through jnana yoga he attains self-realization, by ashtanga yoga he attains paramatma realization. Then eventually, before liberation, he also have to give up this limbs of jnana and yoga. So this is the stage of jnana yoga is the stage of karma sannyas or grihastha sannyas. Okay. Then he eventually has to perform jnana sannyas also. He should give up the path of jnana or yoga. And if he is a grihastha sannyasi, he has to give up karma also. Karma, jnana, yoga, everything he has to give up. And only practice bhakti. Okay. And by that bhakti, he attains liberation. This bhakti is jnana karma the anavrita bhakti. The practice is not covered by jnana and karma. But but it is not anyabhilashita shunya bhakti. There is desire for liberation. So at this stage he gives up even the limbs of jnana, karma, yoga, everything is given up. Only limbs of bhakti are practiced, and by that he attains liberation. Okay, so that is what indicated here. So like that. So this is where we ended our discussion last week. So before we continue today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as that, you can please go ahead. Yes, Sachi Pran Prabhu.
Prabhuji, thank you so much for again clarifying this point. Prabhuji, how we externally identify karma sannyasi person? Because anyone who take karma sannyas, he has to be a saffron person, or again jnana yoga, I don't know, the jnana yoga is how it externally they identify them. What is the external identification of karma sannyasi?
I mean, jnana yogi and karma sannyasi are the same.
So jnana yogi is how we identify them. Like there is the grahastha sannyasi also, na?
So grahastha sannyasi, karma sannyasi and grahastha sannyasi are different. You understand that, no?
Yes.
So the problem is not with identifying the karma sannyasi, because karma sannyasi, he has given up house, he has gone to the forest, and he is performing sannyas.
But there are some mayavadi sannyasis, na? So between the mayavadi sannyasis and karma sannyasis, is there any identification? No, na?
I don't know. I mean, exactly how exactly, you know, they look different, you know. That not know.
And then how the karma sannyasi and then grahastha sannyasi?
Grahastha sannyasi is externally in the grahastha ashram only. And the karma sannyasi has gone to the forest to perform sannyas.
Yeah, I am asking this question to you because I thought as per the Uttama Bhakti definition, anyabhilasha shunyam, jnana karma di anavratam, so their abhilasha is having liberation. That is the only reason they are getting this path. Otherwise, the path of bhakti, if they are divided of jnana and karma, so they're supposed to get better path than this liberation, na? Just because they desire liberation, they have to go for this. Otherwise, they are perfectly following what any bhakta is following.
No, they are giving up this jnana and yoga only at the last stage. And only because it is recommended, they give up. Otherwise, they don't have pure devotional faith. But ideally, we are seeing in Bhagavatam also that Atapya Dvijashreshta Varnashrama Vibhagashah Svanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. That Suta Goswami says, if you want to attain the perfection of Varnashrama, which is liberation, then Haritoshanam, which is much more faster to achieve that same by pleasing the Lord by practice of Shuddha Bhakti, which means Jnana Karma Di Anavrata Bhakti. So there is no need for Sakama Karma Yoga, there is no need for Nishkama Karma Yoga, there is no need for Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, nothing. All you need to do is just practice Bhakti Yoga, even though you may have other Abhilasha. My Abhilasha is liberation. No problem. You practice Bhakti Yoga to attain liberation. And one attains liberation much more faster by direct practice of Bhakti Yoga than by practicing this Sakama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, etc. These things are not needed. One can directly practice Bhakti Yoga. And eventually, after practicing all these things, towards the end, eventually you have to give up jnana, karma, yoga, everything, and you practice the bhakti only.
Yeah.
Krishna says from the beginning only you do that. You don't have to do all this. From the beginning only you do that. Like that.
So, Prabhuji, one point, Prabhuji. This, the karma sannyasi person, Krishna is saying that better is the grahastha sannyasi, because externally he may take sannyas, the karma sannyasi may take sannyas and then later on he has to, you know, if the heart is not purified, then he will be completely captured by the lust. But the grihastha sannyasi person, he is what he does, varnashram, just following varnashram, his heart get purified.
Yeah, well, following varnashram with detachment from the material fruits of that varnashram, his heart becomes purified.
But a karma sannyasi also may follow the process of jnana and then he may also, there are chances that he will also get purified.
No. The process of jnana, you cannot purify the heart. The process of jnana is meant to be practiced at the stage of purified heart. So therefore, the path of jnana cannot purify. Jnana is supposed to be practiced at the stage of purification. So purification comes only through Nishkama Karma Yoga. So if you have given up Nishkama Karma Yoga, there is no scope of purification. So Jnana Yoga involves meditation on the self. But you will not be able to meditate on the if there are still impurities in the heart. So your meditation will not become successful. So you may try to meditate harder and harder. It will become more and more difficult because the impurity is not purified. And you have given up the process of purifying the heart. So therefore he says grihastha sannyas is better. Because you have not given up the path that will purify the heart. And once your heart is completely purified, all you need to do is be internally detached from performing the varnashrama duties. Internally be attached to the meditation on Brahman. Externally perform those activities. There is no problem.
Yeah. Thank you, Puri. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Anything else anyone would like to share? Ask me. Okay, Shyamlal.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu.
So the this Jnana Yoga process that it should be done after purification of the heart, and the Dhyana Yoga, the process of meditation, which I mean, of course, we have not reached that segment yet. But they are both same. I mean, they both come at the same stage after complete purification of the heart.
Yeah. They go hand in hand, actually. They go hand in hand.
Jnana Yoga and Dhyana Yoga are both, I mean.
Yeah, they are elements of, practice which lead to liberation. Okay. We say Ashtanga Yoga is Dhyana Yoga.
Correct.
And Jnana Yoga is, you know, Sankhya. But actually, in order to attain liberation, you have to have the element of Dhyana and you have to have the element of Jnana. If the element of Dhyana is more, then you call that person an Ashtanga Yogi. But if the element of Jnana is more, you call that person a Jnana Yogi. But otherwise, an Ashtanga Yogi aspiring for liberation and a Jnana Yogi aspiring for liberation, both have to have the element of Dhyana and Jnana, both.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, bro.
Hare, thank you, bro. Purushottam Prasad, bro.
Hare Krishna, Vijay, Dandat Pranam.
Dandat Pranam.
Prabhu, regarding this karma sannyasi and grihastha sannyasi, in context with the Bhagavatam verse, says, no, dharma swanishtita pumsham visvakshena katashvayaha notpadayet yatiratim shramayevahi kevalam. So, in these both cases, this karma sannyasi as well as grihastha sannyasi, if they are not hearing about the glories of the Lord or if they are not performing the bhakti, their sannyasa will lead to them the desire results, what they desire. Is it possible for them? Because Bahadam says Shramayeva hi kevalam.
Yeah. So the verse Shramayeva hi kevalam, the phrase Shramayeva hi kevalam has to be understood in two ways. One of the meaning is that if one identifies the goal of life is Krishna Prema. If one identifies the goal of life as Krishna Prema, then in order to attain that Krishna Prema, if one performs Varnashrama, even though that Varnashrama may have the element of bhakti also, but if he is practicing Varnashrama as the prime process, Ramayevai Kevalam, because practice of Varnashrama will not generate Vishvaksena Katha Rati. It will not generate. So, Varnashram is not the means of attaining Krishna Prema. So, if you think by practice of Varnashram you will attain Krishna Prema, that practice of Varnashram will be Shramayeva Hi Kevalam, because practice of Varnashram is not going to develop attachment to hearing the topics of the Lord. This is one understanding. Another understanding is, if you are practicing your Varnashram duties with a desire for relation only, but if that practice of Varnashram does not have the element of bhakti, then that Varnashram is Shravayavi Kevalam even for attaining liberation.
Jai. Clear. Like, clear. Yeah. Clear. Thank you. Thank you.
Anything else before we move on to today's verse? Okay. Let's continue. Then, in the previous verse, Krishna told, Tad buddhayas tadatmanas tannishta tatparayanaha gacchanti apunaravrityam jnana nirduta kalmasha. So, how, even though one may, through the vidya potency, one may focus, one may overcome the influence of avidya and realize the self, but self-realization is not sufficient. One has to realize the super soul also. And for realizing the super soul, the bhakti element has to be there. So that's why tad buddhayas tadatmanas tannishta tatparayana gacchanti apunaravrittim jnana nirduta kalmashaha. So for a person who is absorbed in glorifying and serving me, whose intellect, mind and faith are all fixed on me, and being washed of all ignorance by that knowledge, he attains the abode of liberation from where he does not return again. Gacchanti apunaravrittim jnana nirduta kalmashaha, like that. So then here Krishna is telling, and such people, and this stage is called the Brahmabhuta stage, which the 18th chapter talks about. Brahmabhuta prasannatma na shochati na kangshati samas sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labate param. So this is called the Brahmabhuta stage. Okay. So at this Brahmabhuta stage is characterized by, so this is the symptoms of a Brahmabhuta. Or as in the second chapter, Krishna says, Tita Pragya. Tita Pragyasya Kabasha Samadhistasya Keshava Stita Dirkim Prabhasheta Kimasita Vrajeta Kim. Right? So he asks about that Stita Pragya. So this Stita Pragya is described here. This is one of the symptoms of the Stita Pragya. So he says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Shvapa Kecha Panditaha Samadarshina. So he says, Panditaha, the wise man, samadarshinaha, he sees equally the vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane, a brahmana who is endowed with vidya and vinaya. Vinaya can mean humility, but here vinaya means good conduct. So a brahmana endowed with knowledge and good conduct, gavi, the cow, hastini, the elephant, shuni, the dog, shvapaka, the dog eater, samadarshina, he sees them equally. So what is the symptom of this person who has reached the Brahmabhuta stage? Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni shvapaka pandita samadarshina, he sees them equally. Okay, so he says, what does it mean? We will see. So those who are beyond the gunas have no desire to see any object made of gunas in comparative terms of better or worse. So if you ask a person, if I ask Shyamlal Prabhu, Shyamlal Prabhu, would you like to have filter coffee or would you like to have the regular Nescafe? Or would you like to have frappuccino? Or would you like to have strong tea? What would you like to have?
I haven't tasted them, so.
Would you like to have any of them?
Not really.
So, right? So, it makes... So, for you, you will not make that distinction, right? Because it is not relevant for you. So that is relevant for a coffee drinker. Those kind of distinctions, that hierarchy, that taratamya, that hierarchy of what is best, what is second best, what is the worst, all that matters for a person who is a coffee drinker. But for a person who does not drink coffee, that kind of distinction has no meaning. So therefore, a person who has reached this Brahmabhuta stage, he does not compare about any of these things in one way, that which is better. It is none, because each of these persons are bound to this real world. Therefore, they have equal vision, in the sense they don't make comparison in terms of on the material platform. They do not see those in the mode of sattva, such as brahmanas and cows, those in the mode of passion, such as the elephant, and those in the mode of ignorance, such as the dogs and dog eaters, as superior or inferior. Because he does not, all that is, one is superior conditioning, another is inferior conditioning. But for a liberated person, all said and done, it's all conditioning, right? So he does not make that difference. That does not mean in the absolute sense there is no difference. Difference is there. Just like it's not that there is no difference between filter coffee and Nescafe and, I was just today... one of my cousin sisters has been admitted to hospital for some knee operation. Her sister, my other cousin sister, she has come to take care of her. So, she took a taxi, and twice a day she comes all the way visiting our house, because in that hospital, the tea is not to her taste, right? I'm not criticizing her, but just probably if I had not come to Krishna consciousness, probably I would have been in the same category. So, you know, she would come all the way to our house and ask my father to, you know, get her a cup of tea, because in the hospital they add too much milk and she likes little bit stronger tea. So like that. So but for a person who does not drink tea, you know, it does not really matter whether, you know. So therefore, a person who is beyond the three gunas, he does not make these kind of comparisons, which is better, sattva guna is better, or rajoguna is better, tamoguna is better. He thinks, well, everything is going to bind me to this material world. I am ready for liberation. Why do I have to compare, you know, a golden chain or a silver chain or an iron chain? Ultimately, everything is a chain. Even sattva is a chain with binds. Sukha sangena badnati jnana sangena chanaga. So therefore, even sattva binds. So therefore, he does not make that kind of a distinction. Being learned, they see equally. Equally means that they are beyond the gunas, so that they do not see the particular distinctions due to the gunas. So they do not see means what? They do not see those distinctions as important, relevant. They do not see the relevance of seeing a difference on that particular level. So they have the ability to see Brahman, which is beyond the gunas. So therefore, they do not see these distinctions which are still within the gunas. Not that, not that they don't have the capacity to see. So they do not see in the sense they are not interested. It does not interest them anymore. Not that they do not have the capacity to see. They do have the capacity to see. But they don't see because it does not catch their attention anymore. It does not catch their attention anymore. Right? Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions? Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
Prabhuji, this is Shyamli here.
Yes, Madhu.
So, just a small clarification that as a bhakti yogi, but even if you are beyond, you reach a stage where you are beyond the modes, still this equal vision is not what is expected of a bhakti yogi, right? I mean, yeah. We do see variations of gradations of who's a devotee and who's. I just wanted to clarify.
We don't do that. We don't do that. So this kind of equal vision is not for a bhakti yogi, because a jnana yogi is interested in a self-emancipation. But a bhakti yogi is in the mission of Krishna. A jnana yogi is in his own mission. But a bhakti yogi is in the mission of Krishna. So therefore, Ishware prema tadadineshu maitri balisheshu kripa dvishatsu upeksha. So he makes that distinction. So Ishware prema.
Yeah.
He loves Krishna with those who are other lovers of Krishna, devotees. He develops a friendly relationship. Those who have not taken up to Krishna consciousness, he deals with them in a compassionate way. And anything that is detrimental to his Krishna consciousness, he tries to stay away. So in that way, he does make distinctions, a devotee.
Okay. Staying away is what is meant by upeksha, not necessarily like rejecting or, you know, hating or, that would come as an anartha then, right?
Yeah, there is no hatred. Upeksha means staying away, neglect, not that he hates.
Yeah, just wanted to clarify that. Thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. And also, this is one angle of answering your question, but there is another angle to it. The jnani, he is a qualified jnani. So this jnani on the level of Swabhava has transcended the three modes already. Whereas a devotee, a sadhaka, even though he has accepted a path which is superior to jnana, but on the level of Swabhava, he has not transcended the three modes. His Swabhava has not transcended the three modes. Right? So therefore, if one of us probably in this forum who probably had an attraction for drinking coffee prior to coming to Krishna consciousness, we may not drink coffee, but when we are passing through a place where some really good quality coffee is getting brewed, you know, we may take that fragrance and think, wow, this smells like a really good coffee. You know, we may not drink it, but still we do make the distinctions because of our Swabhava has not transcended the three modes yet, right? We may still say that are mujhe chole nahi chahiye, wo bindi sabji de do. So that distinctions we may make because the difference between, we saw one difference between Jnana Yogi and Bhakti Yogi, because a Bhakti Yogi does make that distinction. But on the another level, a Jnana Yogi, he has actually on the level of Swabhava transcended the three modes, where Sadhaka has not yet transcended the three modes. So therefore, his Swabhava will automatically make those distinctions. Even though intellectually he may say that, oh, it does not really matter. How does it matter whether it's a really excellently brewed coffee or what? Anyway, you're not going to drink it. Your intellect will say that, your faith will say that, but the mind will still say, yes, I am not going to drink, but still, wow, it smells like really good coffee. You know. So, and the intellect will say, how does it matter? You're not going to drink it. Mind will say, yes, I'm not going to drink, but still, it smells good. Like that. So, but for a Jnani, he is a Pakka Samadarshi, because he's qualified Jnani. You know, his Swabhava has also transcended the three modes. Like that. This is another vision of answering the same question that you have asked. Anyways, there's another thing in the chat box. Yeah, but a Vaishnava is Samadrishti. Yeah, he's Samadrishti. In the sense that he wants everyone to take up the Krishna consciousness. That is true. He wants everyone to take up the Krishna consciousness, but he sees that being Samadarshi Ishware Prema Tadadineshu Maitri Balisheshu Krupa Dishatsu Upeksha. There is no contradiction there. There is no contradiction there. So Samadarshi means, what do we do? Samadarshi means, but definitely there is no Samadarshi between the Supreme Lord and the living entities. That distinction is there. So even between the living entities, Samadarshi means what? A Vaishnava sees someone either as a devotee or a potential devotee. Okay. So that is that Samadarshi vision. Devotee or a potential devotee. If he is a devotee, friendship. If he is a potential devotee but favorable, then compassion. If he is a potential devotee but unfavorable, then stay away. So still there is Samadarshan. Right. Everyone, he sees everyone either as a devotee or a potential devotee. Okay. But depending on his level of conditioning and his level of faith, he deals with that person. So that differentiation, even the Samadarshi devotee, he makes. There is a question in the chat box. mode of goodness binds one with knowledge. So does it mean material knowledge? Material knowledge. Maybe knowledge in the mode of goodness, not the passionate one, but not, I know things, you know, I'm quite knowledgeable, you know, I think I'm well situated. I don't need any help. You know, I am self-satisfied. You know, that kind of a confidence, it binds one to at that level, like that. Okay. If there are no further discussion points, let's move ahead. So there are the symptoms of this person who has reached the stage of Brahma stage is Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Shvapake Cha Pandita Samadarshina. He does not make these kind of distinctions. Yes, mode of goodness is better than mode of passion and mode of ignorance. This is what I have transcended the three modes. You know, for me, the three modes, which one is a better mode, does not, it's, you know, it's not within the scope of my interest. Okay. Then continues describing this Stita Pragya. Yes, or Brahma Bhuta. Ihavatairjita sargo yesham samye stitam manaha nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmani te stitaha. So he says, yesham samye stitam manaha, those whose minds are situated in this equality, the samye, the first two, what is the previous verse? Pandita Samadarshina. Yeah. So the Samadarshi. So the Esham Samye Stitam Manaha means for those who are Samadarshinas, as described in the previous verse, Iha Eva Tair Jita Sargo. Sarga means samsara. Jitaha means they conquer. Iha means in this world. So in this world, they conquer samsara. So those who have developed this kind of equality, they conquer over the world of birth and death. Nirdosham hi, they are certainly without any fault which will bind them to this material world. And samam brahma, seeing equally everything as brahman, tasmad brahmanite sitaha, therefore they are situated in brahman, which means they are situated in the brahma bhuta stage. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samas sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labate param, like that. So such people who are situated in equality, they conquer over the world of birth and death. They are without fault and seeing everything equally as Brahman, they are situated in Brahman. So this verse praises the ability to see equally. In this world, they have defeated samsara, that which has been created. Okay. So they overcome samsara. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions? Okay. Yes, Sachipran Prabhu.
Prabhuji, Dandatvanam Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I heard this shloka, Pandita Samadarshana, many times from the Guru Maharaj, that he uses this verse in context of, you know. So Pandita Samadarshana, so Vaishnava also, it is applicable to Vaishnava also? There also? Like
yeah, it is applicable to Vaishnavas also, but in some context it applies to Vaishnavas, but not in the exact context in which it applies to the Jnana Yogis. Okay. So like we saw that even we don't see any difference, like in one sense, how does this apply to us? For us, we want everyone to take up the Krishna consciousness. Whether it is a dog or a dog eating chandala or an elephant, we want to we wish that everyone takes up the Krishna consciousness, or everyone at least comes close to taking up the Krishna consciousness. So if we have some prasad, we want to feed the dog also prasad, so that the dog can also develop some sukriti, and you know, in the next life can get some human birth and come close to bhakti. So in that way, we also don't see any difference. Whoever it may be, come close to Krishna. But that samadarshina, but that samadarshi, samadarshan of the jnani is different. The samadarshan of the jnani is, I don't have anything to do with any of you. Right? गाय रहो या कुत्ता रहो या चंडाल रहो या ब्राह्मण रहो, मुझे कुछ लेना देना नहीं है. सो दैट काइंड ऑफ समदर्शन, दैट इज ज्ञानी समदर्शन. बट भक्ता समदर्शन इज, आप गाय है तो भी चलेगा, कुत्ता है तो भी चलेगा, ब्राह्मण है तो भी चलेगा, कृष्ण भक्त बन. सो
परफेक्ट
अंडरस्टूड ना?
यस परफेक्ट. थैंक यू, थैंक यू.
हरे कृष्ण. Anything else? Okay, let's move on to the next verse. So he continues the description of this Brahma Bhuta or the Stita Prajna. Okay. So Krishna is continuing the description. Na prahrishyet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam, sthira buddhir asammodo brahma vid brahmani sthita. Sthira buddhihi, he whose intelligence is fixed in what? In Brahman. Asammodaha, who is free of bewilderment. So bewilderment is caused due to Rajas and Tamas, mostly Tamas. Okay, so he is free from Tamas. Brahma vid, he has the knowledge of Brahman. Brahmani sthitaha, he is situated in Brahman. So that person, na prahrishyet priyam prapya, he does not rejoice on attaining what is dear. Na udvijet prapya cha priyam, and he is, does not become agitated on attaining what is not favorable, because he does not have any raga dvesha anymore. Because he does not have any raga dvesha, therefore he does not become happy on attaining something which is dear, and he does not become distressed or agitated on attaining something unfavorable. So he says, such a person is equal in the face of objects both dear and not dear in this world. This we have already seen, right? Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastin. Attaining dear objects he does not rejoice, and attaining unwelcome objects he does not become disturbed. The potential mood of prakrishyet and udvijet stands for the indicative present in this verse, or it can mean that the person should practice that mood during the stage of sadhana. So prakrishyet can mean descriptive, or prakrishyet can mean potential. Potential means, you know, you should not rejoice when you get something dear, and you should not lament or get disturbed when you get something unwelcome. So this is an instruction or a sadhana which is to be practiced by a sadhaka, not pure devotional sadhaka, but a jnana yogi sadhaka. But one who has attained that stage, this is a descriptive. This describes that person. So it stands for indicative present in this verse. So such a person does not rejoice. Such a person does not get agitated like that. And he is not bewildered since bewilderment arises only from identification with joy, lamentation and other emotions. So because he is not affected by these emotions, he does not become bewildered. Krodhat bhavati sammohat, sammohat smriti vibhrama, smriti bhramshat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashyati. So because he does not, that sammoha is not there. Why sammoha is not there? Because sammoha is due to krodha. Why krodha is not there? Krodha is due to kama. Why kama is not there? Kama is due to sangha. And why sangha is there? Sangha is due to dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. And why dhyayato vishayan pumsaha is not there? Because he is atmarati. He is meditating on the self. He is interested in self-realization. He is not interested in Vishaya. Because he is not interested in Vishaya, there is no Vishaya Dhyan. Because there is no Vishaya Dhyan, there is no Sangha, there is no Kama, there is no Krodha, there is no Sammoha. Like that. So, therefore, he says, Stira buddhihi asammoodo brahmavid brahmanas brahmani stitaha. So he whose intelligence is fixed, who is free of bewilderment, who has the knowledge of Brahman and who is situated in Brahman, does not rejoice on attaining what is dear, and he does become agitated on attaining what is not favorable. Na prahrishyet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam. Stira buddhir asammoodaha brahmavid brahmani stitaha. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions? Okay. If there is none, let's continue. Then he says, Bahya sparsheshu asaktatma vindati atmani yat sukam. Sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. So he says, vindati atmani yat sukam. He who has attained the happiness of Paramatma within the soul. Right? Because previously also we saw that he meditates on the Paramatma and he attains realization of Paramatma. So he says, and bahya sparsheshu asatma. And such a person is not attached to the happiness from sense objects. Why? Because vindati atmani yat sukam. Because he has attained the happiness of Paramatma, therefore he is bahya sparsheshu asakta. He is not attached to happiness from sense objects. Brahma yoga yuktatma. Because he is totally absorbed in Paramatma, therefore he is not attached to happiness from sense objects. Saha sukham akshayam ashnute. He attains permanent happiness. Permanent happiness means the happiness of liberation. He attains the bliss of liberation. That's what this verse talks about. Bahya sparsheshu asaktatma vindati atmani yat sukham sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. So such a person attains permanent happiness. Saha sukham akshayam ashnute. Because he is experiencing the bliss of realizing the Paramatma. Shri Vishnu Chagada Guru says, his mind is not attached to the happiness of sense objects since he experiences the soul happiness from having attained Paramatma. He then attains that happiness permanently since in constantly relishing thatness, he does not relish lower things. Therefore, bahya sparsheshu asaktatma. Any discussion points, questions, comments? Okay, if there is none, we will continue. Okay, Shyam Chandra Prabhu.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, so, Prabhu.
this refers to mystic yogis, right? I mean, the people like who are into Ashtanga yoga, not for jnanis, right? Because they are talking of Paramatma here.
No, Jnana yogis or Ashtanga yogis, whatever they eventually have to realize the Paramatma in order to attain liberation. Because mere self-realization will not lead to liberation. One has to essentially attain realization of the Paramatma also. So only by that one can attain, only by that one can liberation.
But Jnana yogis, they are aspiring for the merging into the impersonal effulgence, no? And
Ashtanga yogis also are aspiring for that only.
Not for Paramatma realization.
Yeah, but what is the result of realizing the Paramatma?
Yeah, so I'm just trying to understand. So there are two different levels, no? So the first level is the Brahman realization, which is aspired by the Jnana yogis. And then the mystic yogis or Siddha yogis, they try to realize the same absolute as Paramatma, localized realization. So here we are talking of the Jnana yogis, or we are talking of the Siddha yogis, that is mystic yogis. I wanted a clarification on that.
No. So you can say this Jnana or Ashtanga yoga as two means of attaining liberation. So it is spoken of like that also. So you can ask, you can attain, like we saw just now, you know, there are three ways. One is the grihastha sannyasi. Okay. Then there is the jnana yogi. Then there is the ashtanga yogi. All three can attain liberation. It is mentioned. But all of them, whether grihastha sannyasi also has to have, he is practicing karma externally, but he also, to attain that impersonal liberation, he should have the element of jnana, he should have the element of yoga, and he should have the element of bhakti. And the jnana yogi also, he must have the element of jnana, he should have the element of yoga, he should have the element of bhakti. And the ashtanga yogi also, he should have the element of jnana, he should have the element of yoga, and he should have the element of bhakti. So he is called an ashtanga yogi because in his practices the yoga element becomes more prominent. He is called the jnana yogi because the jnana element is more prominent. But ultimately all of them want this impersonal liberation only, and all of them have to realize the Paramatma feature, because mere self-realization is not sufficient. So Paramatma realization is needed for both the Ashtanga yogi and Jnana yogi if they are aspiring after impersonal liberation.
So Prabhu, if they are aspiring for impersonal liberation, mm-hmm. then Paramatma realization is a localized realization, no? It is like sunlight and sun planet. So one is localized and one is impersonal, completely impersonal.
Yeah.
So if somebody is realizing Paramatma, mm-hmm. or you are saying that both are realizing, are going to realize Paramatma realization only.
Both have to realize the Paramatma form.
Who is the type of yogi who goes to impersonal effulgence? He wants to merge with the impersonal effulgence. Who are those type of yogis there?
Both Ashtanga yogis and Jnana yogis want that only.
So both of them realize, I mean, both of them are aspiring both impersonal as well as Paramatma.
Yeah, they want to merge in the impersonal Brahman as a destination. So their destination is impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Merging in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti is their destination. But in order to attain that, they have to realize the Paramatma feature also.
Paramatma feature becomes the first stage. No? See, as I understand, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. So Brahmeti is the first realization. Paramatma is the next higher level realization. And the highest level realization is personal feature, that is Bhagavan.
Correct.
So
there is a difference between realizing and aspiring for. For example, even the Jnana Yogi worships Bhagavan. The Ashtanga Yogi also worships Bhagavan. But that does not mean establishing a relationship with Bhagavan is their aspiration. But worship is there. In the same way, just because someone realizes Paramatma, one does not realize Paramatma as the destination. So their realization of Paramatma is Paramatma as a means to attain their destination and not Paramatma as a destination in itself. So that kind of realization is a realization good enough for attaining Brahma Jyoti, but it is not complete realization actually. So
what you are saying is that even if somebody is aspiring for Paramatma realization, his destination is going to be Brahma Jyoti only.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, okay. Otherwise, what is the destination of Ashtanga Yogis? Where do they go?
What my understanding was that they try to merge in the Paramatma feature of the Lord.
There is an what Paramatma does it feature. Mean to merge in the Paramatma feature?
It's a localized feature which has a form, but it is not impersonal. Whereas,
true, but what does it mean to people. What does it mean to merge in Paramatma?
I mean, just residing in the in the feature, the form feature of the Lord, but no attribute of service.
Okay, actually, you are right. There are some kind of worshippers of the Paramatma feature also, but they are actually, worshippers of either the form of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu or Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu or Shirodaka Sai Vishnu. Such people, by worship of those forms, they can go to Vaikuntha, and that kind of worship is less of Ashtanga Yogic type of worship, but it is more of a devotional type of worship, and such people go to Vaikuntha. Otherwise, if you see, all the living entities in this material world are anyway merged in the body of Atma only, which is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Karanodaka Sai Vishnu is also Paramatma only. He is Paramatma of the whole Prakriti. Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is the Paramatma of individual universes. Shirodaka Sai Vishnu is the Paramatma of the individual living entities. So by realizing the Paramatma, if you have to merge in the body of the Paramatma, the living entity, without even actually practicing any of this yoga at the time of Pralaya, anyway is residing within the body of Paramatma only.
But then again, he is released, and his previous karmic engagements are once again put into action.
That is true. That is true. Your point makes sense. But that kind of a description, as the body of the Paramatmas, as the residence of the of those who are liberated yogis, that is not mentioned. His body is as a residing place of the soul is only mentioned only during the time of Pralaya. So otherwise, if you see the description, that is true, but more details are given in the third canto Kapiladev's teachings, and in the 11th canto, if you read, there are descriptions. Third canto, 28th chapter, it is very clearly mentioned that the Paramatma meditating yogi also attains Sayujya Mukti only. Generally, that is their aspiration.
Okay. Okay, Prabhu. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay. So anything else anyone would like to share as add before? Okay, Ramacharya Prabhu.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
So I think we just talked about some of those things, but I still did not get the clarification. So I might be repeating. But in one of your slides, and right now even on the slide that you were showing, we talked about Gyan Yoga has a goal of self-realization and then Ashtanga Yoga to Paramatma realization. So how and who is that person who is making self-endeavor for self-realization? Because the understanding it goes is that by realizing the higher truth, such as, you know, if you realize Bhagwan, then you have the complete realization of Paramatma and Brahman. So how that self-realization concept goes in a separate way? Or in other way, I thought that basically Paramatma realization will comprise some degree of self-realization. Or even, but what exactly, you know, is that self-realization in a separate way?
I am the soul. I am not this body. So for realizing that, see why Bhagavan realization encompasses self-realization, because in realizing Bhagavan, you also, in one sense, in realizing your relationship with Bhagavan, you also realize your own constitutional position. But in realizing that you are not this body, you are the soul, that for that realization, it can happen irrespective of Paramatma realization also. But that realization is not complete also. So when we say self-realization, we are not talking about complete self-realization. So complete self-realization is not possible even by that kind of process. You can at the most know that I am not constitutionally matter, I am constitutionally spirit. That much basic understanding of self-realization one can get through the Vidya potency.
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, then it makes sense. So that means it has to lead to the higher form of realization.
Yeah.
It could be Paramatma or Bhagavan or Brahman. But the self-realization is basically, in that way, I think, yes, Prabhu, that helps. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So it's 9:30 now. I think we will pause here and continue this discussion next Friday. So thank you all very much for patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavata ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.